Now that Hillary is gone, the Mike Church Show wanted to perform a public service and remind listeners of what we were almost stuck with as a president.
Get down here and talk to them!
Radio edit.
What?
You stop it, you're drunk.
And that was before Bill was busted. Monica, Paula, you get the picture. The Mike Church Show, protecting audiences from Mrs. Clinton since 1992. Heard exclusively here on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade Channel.
Flair when we need him.
Woo!
Where is Nature Boy Rick Flair when we need him? We will explore that question here on today's Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, featuring King Size Truth from little tiny radio-sized speakers on a Monday, asking the question of the day.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Well, I'll tell you. It is a mad, 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 mad world out there. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call the program here live on the Crusade Channel, call 844-527-8723. 844-5-CRUSADE. Email me directly. My email address is the same as it ever was. KINGDUDE at MikeChurch.com. Official website for all things moi. Online at MikeChurch.com. We are live on the U-Boob this morning. Thank you very much. Live on our chat room at MikeChurch.com. Of course, it looks like just family members in there now, so the dead have yet to awaken here on a Monday. Well, no, there is a non-family member in the chat room. You could join it, though, and make it a, kind of quasi-family affair. Simply go to my website at MikeChurch.com, click Mike Church Show Live Chat, and that will take you right to it. Boy, you missed a lot of activity on Friday. First of all, David Simpson had let me back up. Rick Barrett and the Barrett Brief, outstanding Friday afternoon. Good job, Rick. Followed by David Simpson, True Money Show. Good job, David. I'm happy to announce to you today that when young Jacob gets here, later this morning, we will begin posting and publishing the last 15 to 20 episodes of the Barrett Brief, will now be available on the RSS feed that many of you have already subscribed to. So about 15, 20 new episodes, plus new True Money shows and lots of other great stuff coming your way later on this morning. We edited them all on Friday or on Thursday and prepped them to get ready for publishing on Friday. And then we'll start publishing them every day. So lots of new content coming your way. Wanted to announce that. Let me go back to my theme for the day, though. Where is Nature Boy Ric Flair when we need him? Woo! So people are going like, what's with the Ric Flair bit, Mike? Well, Middies Youngblood just did a great cover story in the 6 a.m. news here on this very deranged and confused female that thinks she's a dude and is entering girls' wrestling contest. Now, note there is a difference between wrestling and wrestling. Now, I will explain to you. We still need for Ric Flair to go to San Antonio, Texas, and open up a Mid-Atlantic wrestling can of whoop-ass on this pretend girl or pretend boy. Rick, are you up for the task?
Woo!
Now, in the derangement in which we live, and we live in a deranged era. Only in a deranged era could the evangelist Billy Graham be canonized by a Roman Catholic priest live on Fox News.
Bitter Chart, I thought you were going to drop the Billy Graham thing. You're going to lose Marl Leonard.
I was waiting for someone with some authority to wade into this fray, and lo and behold, Brother Andre and Marita to rescue. I can't wait for this Wednesday's reconquest. As a matter of fact, since I can't wait for it, and I think he already posted it, I might even release it early. Hell, I might even play it at the end of this show today with Brother and Charles Coulomb's conversation about this. Long, long overdue, but much, much appreciated. That doesn't mean my brother was dawdling by any means. I'm waiting for someone other than me to say something about this. So we have that. Then, Middies Youngblood had this story in her news today, and I shall read the... Hold on. I got a lot of stuff in the pile of prep here. What is this child's name? You know, I thought I printed it out. Maybe I didn't. It's in the pile of prep. I do know that. I guess I didn't print it out. So there's this 18-year-old pretend girl, right? Who is a female wrestler. Now, first of all, I didn't even know that there was such a thing as female wrestling. Yeah. Now, again, there's a difference between wrestling and wrestling. Like, wrestling is an Olympic sport. Wrestling is what Ric Flair did. Woo! I'm a little weak in my old age. I used to be able to woo with the best of them. Speaking of, I did a Google search. I was looking for Ric Flair pictures for the pile of prep today. Ric Flair done went and got old, y'all. You want to talk about making someone else feel ancient? Ric Flair done went and got old. But it doesn't matter. There's plenty of photographs. Woo! So there's a difference between wrestling and wrestling. What Ric Flair did, or does, is wrestling. What, I'm trying to think of an Olympian. There used to be a pro wrestler or two that were Olympic wrestlers. Tim Woods, for example, was an actual gold medalist, I think, in Munich in 1972 and was a pro wrestler. Anyways, this girl, here it is, Mac Beggs is its name. Now, Mrs. Beggs, soon to be Mitter Beggs. No, we're going to stick with Mrs. Mrs. Beggs has won a state championship in girls wrestling. Right, for the second time. Now, this is a, look, it's not even worth, Mitter Church, please, what are we going to turn the show into Friday Night Lights now? The story is inconsequential, not even interesting, from any point of view other than the character. And the character of the champion, if you will. Now, it is plain and it is announced and public knowledge that Mac Beggs is a female and is consuming on a daily basis male hormones. Now, let me break that down for you. If Lance Armstrong did that, and he did, of course, his were of a more doctored variety, same effect, similar effect, then you would have 7 Tour de France medals that he won, fair and square, rescinded and renounced, and you'd be stripped of your titles, right? If you were a Russian athlete and wanted to go to the Winter Olympics and wrestle under the banner of the Russian Federation, you would be forbidden because there was no Russian Federation this year because they were penalized for what? Taking male hormones. Doping, as they call it, right? Follow me here now on this. So, in any other sport, in baseball, Roger Clemens was keel-hauled in front of Congress because what? Of what he did or did not inject into his buttocks. Male hormones. Ditto that for Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, Barry Bonds, Rafael Palmeiro, who ratted them all out and said, yeah, they did it. I did it too. So what? Mississippi State boy gone bad. Point. Woo! Is that the chick? That is just a freak of nature. That is an abomination to God, this Mac Beggs character. Now, if this substance can get Lance Armstrong, can cause Lance Armstrong to lose his 7 Tour de France's, can cause the entire Russian Federation to be banned from participation in this Winter Olympics. I think they're banned from the Summer Olympics too, aren't they? Have international hearings in front of the congressional subcommittees on it, embarrass and cause into and call into question the pitching record and legacy of Roger Clemens, and the batting record of Barry Bonds, Sammy Sosa, and Mark McGwire. I'd say that, and then there are universal bans on doping, taking these steroids. I'd say that there may be a pretty good reason for this. You might also recall that there were some members of the NFL that doped back in the day when it was just ignored. It wasn't legal or illegal. It was just ignored. Who was the guy that played Sloth in the Goonies? Is that John Matuszak? I think I want to say that it's Matuszak. He was an ex-NFL player. I think he was a linebacker or so. Big, mean, gnarly dude. It was Matuszak. He died at an early age. And it was suspected that he was a regular steroid user, and that had a adverse effect on his mind, on his brain. He may also have been one of the early sufferers of the concussion, CTE epidemic that's claimed the lives of many others. But definitely Matuszak was a steroid user. As a matter of fact, Matuszak and a couple other NFL players' deaths are the ones that led to the revolt or to the to becoming public knowledge and being disclosed and then laws and sporting rules being written against the use of these steroids. Enter the fake boy who denies that God blessed her as a boy. And enter the Texas State Athletic Commissions, who have allowed this freak, this mutant, basically, to wrestle against girls, other girls, who are not taking steroids. Now, only in sexual preference can you get a pass to do these things. So I'm wondering, if Russians want to run track or pole vault or weightlift or wrestle at the upcoming Summer Olympics, next Summer Olympics, in 2 years, and the Olympic Committee is going to say, yeah, you guys are dopers. We kind of banned you from wrestling for, you know, like to however many years they're banned or whatever the case may be. Maybe the wrestlers should say, we're not wrestling for the Russian, we want to wrestle for the Russian Federation. We want to wrestle for the Russian Federation, and we're women who are transitioning to become men, but right now we're women. We're steroided up. Yes, we are doping, and there's nothing you can do to stop us. The list of errors here, folks, is so long, you don't need me to even describe them to you, because you can figure this stuff out for yourself. This is how powerful the lesbonic, sodomite, tranny mammy lobby has become. Diabolically influenced, diabolically inspired, and diabolically assisted. People that amount to less than 2% of the population of the planet are now running and ruling roughshod over the other 98%, and any of the 98% that dare to say no. They dare to say, no, you're a girl, and you're not allowed to dope, and you can't wrestle in a sport, or you can't play baseball, you can't do any of these things. I keep wondering, where are the feminists? Where are the members of Gal Qaeda? Because this girl is denying that she's a female. This is a sin against womandom. That's right. She's causing aspersions to be cast upon other women. Upon the women, the female race, for heaven's sake. Where are the members of Gal-Qaeda to rally together after a spark of outrage over this? Now, I know Celeste is in the chat room is pointing this out. I know that she wanted to wrestle against the boys. And just like Annika Sorenstam wanted to play against Phil Mickelson, let her. Let her. She'll never win a match. She's like, who was it that said, John McEnroe said of Serena or Venus, which of the two has all the championships? Is it Serena or Venus Williams? Serena or Venus Williams, which one has all the tennis championships? I know they both play. Well, McEnroe said she wanted to play with the whichever one it was. I'm so good. I ought to be playing with the men, she boasted. And John McEnroe came out and said, you'd be ranked like number 160 something in the world, and no one would know your name if you played with the men, sweetheart. Serena. This is insanity. Now, we wonder why teenage boys are going into schools with weapons and committing mass acts of homicide. We wonder how they can become so confused and deranged. Why don't they know, we scream, that that's just wrong to do, right? I don't know. Maybe they suffer from the same mental disorder that ought to tell the Texas State Athletic Commission, you can't allow student athletes to dope. And you certainly can't allow mentally deranged and confused student athletes to dope and then participate in sports and become champions. You think maybe these two things are related? 844-527-8723 is our telephone number. 844-5-CRUSADE. Email me directly. My email address, same as it ever was, kingdude, KINGDUDE at mikechurch.com. Then we have this. ABC News reporting. And hat tip here to Mitter Joss Will for the story in the Crusader Room on Facebook. A sodomite American Olympic athlete has performed the signal task with his boyfriend of rescuing a dog in Korea. Now, you may be thinking right now, well, that's better church, please. Cares about dog rescues. Well, there's more to the story than meets the eye. Yeah, I'm with you, Paul. Why are girls wrestling to begin with? I don't get it. It's a dude sport. Greco-Roman wrestling has always been a male sport. Oh, that's right. I forgot. Yes. Little girls must participate in everything little boys participate in, including writing their names into snow competitions. Here's a headline from ABC News. Gus Kenworthy and boyfriend rescue puppy from South Korean dog meat farm. Now just wait a cotton picking minute. So let me see if I understand this. South Koreans eat dogs. All right, I don't eat dogs. You don't eat dogs. If the South Koreans want to eat dogs, let them eat dogs. It's their country. If they want to raise dogs for meat, they're perfectly free to do so. You know that the Japanese still eat whale. Did you know that? As a matter of fact, if you've ever been to Japan, I haven't been, but I know people who have. Did you know that during a certain time, a season of the year, that McDonald's in Japan offers whale burgers. Minister Church, you're making that. I'm not making it up. I read a review from a dude who ate one. He goes, you want to think it's a hamburger, but it tastes like bad sushi? It was not good. Now, when we think of whales, we think of Free Willy, the stupid killer orca whale or whatever. And, you know, they're cute and cuddly. And unless, of course, SeaWorld has captured them. Well, then it's inhumane and this and that and the other. but we're again eating, I'm again it. Whales. We don't have ships that are off the Atlantic coast or the Pacific coast. You know what we do? We watch whales, right? Americans, they don't eat whales. They pay thousands upon thousands of dollars to hire some clown, some skipper on a boat to haul them out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean to go watch a whale.
Oh, I want to go whale watching.
What a petulant, spoiled brat you are. Take your whale watching money. Find a child to adopt that needs food and feed it. My point is we don't stop the Japanese from eating whales, do we? Now, being that we're Star Spangled Awesome, we probably thought about it. We just never executed it. But dogs in South Korea are food. This is a food source. Again, why does it matter whether or not I approve of it or I like it or you like it or not? There's South Koreans, if they don't want to eat dogs, let them eat dogs. U.S. Winter Olympic skier Gus Kenworthy isn't walking away from the Winter Games with a medal. But instead, he's returning from Pyeongchang with something cuddlier and yappier, a rescue dog from a South Korean dog meat farm. Where's Ric Flair when we need him? Rick, you need to put a suplex move on this guy. And his, quote, boyfriend, close quote. On his Instagram page on Friday, he posted this, quote, "This morning, Matt and I had a heart-wrenching visit to one of the 17,000 dog farms here in South Korea. Across the country, there are 2.5 million dogs being raised for food in some of the most disturbing conditions imaginable." Close quote. Have you ever been to a cow farm, a beef farm in Amarillo, Texas, Gus? Have you ever been to a chicken farm run by the Tyson Food Corporation in Arkansas? Have you ever been to an average pig farm? Animals are raised for food. They're not humans. They don't have souls. And, yeah, they're raised in deplorable conditions. Usually because, though, well, this is key, they're usually raised in deplorable conditions because humans in 2018 are unfamiliar with the process of raising their own food. Being unfamiliar with the process, you want to attach the cuddliness of your dog to a cow. Well, I don't think the cow should be raised in that kind of condition. Well, maybe you ought to find a free-range farmer near you and contract, you know, to have your beef grown right down the street and where Elsie can roam the free-range, right? And there's a bunch of pictures of the sodomite couple with their dog. Here's a caption. U.S. Olympian Gus Kenworthy with his boyfriend, Matt Wilkes, holds a dog that the couple is rescuing from a South Korean dog meat farm. Yeah. There's a bunch of geezer dogs that are, you could see them in the background of the pictures. Mrs. O'Connell's asking me, why didn't they take a geezer dog? Why do you want a little puppy, Gus? Oh, you and your boyfriend want to cuddle with it. Oh, how sweet. The farm Kenworthy visited is being shut down, and the newly free canines will be brought to the U.S. and Canada and placed in, now get this, fur-ever homes, he explained. I adopted this sweet baby in the first pick. We named her Bemo. And she'll be coming to the U.S. to live with me as soon as she's through with her vaccinations in a short couple of weeks. I cannot wait to give her the best life possible. I and my boyfriend and our dog are super. Thanks for asking. Now, folks, if we were in high school, and this were to occur to somebody that you knew that was going to high school, back in the day, this would be a cause for laughter. No one would take this seriously. You're like, you and your boyfriend adopted a dog? Really? But there's another point to be made here, though. Note that of all the creatures on Earth that are mistreated, malnourished, and what have you, the sexually unnatural sodomite chooses a dog for his affection and generosity, not a human. Ask anyone that's ever been on a mission trip to Africa or Indonesia or South America, maybe even Venezuela for parts of Mexico. There are ample supplies of human beings, children, that are in need of assistance and need, hey, Matt, hey, Gus, forever homes. But to the sodomite, hey, this is just as natural as revolting against the natural order and choosing men over women. Blah, 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 blah. Kenworthy's soft spot for rescue dogs was apparent at the 2014 Winter Olympics in Sochi, Russia. When he brought home two puppies he found near the Olympic Village, those dogs, Jake and Mishka, now reportedly live with his ex-boyfriend in Canada. So you're a serial philanderer. You're a serial fornicator with men, and you leave a trail of ex-boyfriends behind. My, how Freddie Mercury of you. Watch that special on, what channel is it? Was it Real TV about Freddie Mercury? When he was boasting and bragging to New York, to tabloid newspapers about how he'd slept with, over 1,000? He had sex with over 1,000 men. Of course, before he found out he had AIDS, and many of them, some of them died before he did from AIDS. This stuff is just freaking repulsive. Now, NBC News wonders why they spent $12 billion on the Olympics. And it was the lowest watch Olympiad ever. Maybe it had something to do with the overbearing focus on homosexuals and everything being rainbow flag, star-spangled awesome. By the by, we got to see the the only Olympics that I watched this year, for the most part, was biathlon. And that's because I didn't find out that any of the biathletes were bisexual biathletes yet. And curling. Because the U.S. men's team came from out of nowhere and won a first gold medal since Munich, I think, since 1972. Curling looks like a sport. If I had an ice rink nearby, I'd go learn how to curl, and I'd go curl. It looks fun. Strategy and everything. Well, that's all I watched at the Olympics. The lowest rated Olympics in television broadcast history. $12 billion was invested by NBC to bring you the Gaylympiad. And that's what it turned out to be. And people turned it off. You know, I got to tell you, I'm on my second week of Lent where I have not binge-watched horrible, crappy movies on Hulu or Amazon Prime on a Sunday afternoon. And I'm not missing them. So I've been watching a lot of TV anyways. 844-527-8723, lowest rated Olympics in history. Of course, now, you can't sit at your TV and scream USA, 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 all the time when you're watching the Winter Olympics because the U.S. wins so few medals. Yeah, right. The Norwegians. By the way, when the, Minnesota O'Connell, who's the team? That's the Netherlands. Who dominates the speed skating? Netherlands. I didn't hear a chant erupt from the crowd of or the fans of Netherlands ice skating that were in the arenas. We're in the skating arena when they won, like, what? They almost swept the medals. They won the three-man and three-women relays. They won the 1,500. They won the 1,000. They won the 5. the Netherlands ice skaters just dominated. Well, it's probably because they don't have anything else to do. You know, they don't raise children. This is their last generation of people, the Netherlands. And the Norwegians, lowest birth rates on by country on Earth, are in the Nordic countries. They're gone. The heirs and the descendants of Vikings couldn't be bothered to create the next generation of Vikings. So, 1,000 years from now, people wonder what happened to the Nordic people. Unless they escaped to a Catholic country south, they contracepted, aborted, sodomized themselves out of existence, which is what they're doing now. Having said that, when the Netherlands people captured a medal, and they captured a lot of them, I didn't hear any erupts of Netherlands, 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 Netherlands. Did you? I must have missed it. 844-527-8723 is my telephone number, 844-5-CRUSADE. Our chat room is open at MikeChurch.com. What, whose parents were at CPAC? Ms. Linscomb's parents were at CPAC? I'm sorry. Yeah, parents that are into brainwashing. They need an intervention. They need me to intervene. I want to go down some news headlines here. And we'll see what sticks for the... Oh, by the way, this is another announcement. Mayor Steve Cunningham took a 6.5 minute long clip from Thursday's Mike Church show and turned it into one of the most anti-star spangled awesome videos ever made. It's on my YouTube channel. If you're watching this on YouTube, click the Make America Great Again. NRA Machine Gun America is responsible for... Hold on. What's the title that he gave the video? Machine Gun America is... I know it's here in the Crusader Room on Facebook. Because he called me up and he was frantic. Dude, you got to give me that you got to give me that audio. We got to make a video out of that. Of course, I complied. Where did it go? It's posted on there somewhere. Maybe all the way down to the bottom of the page. You're right. Maybe it got removed. We remove things from our own Facebook page. Well, I know I posted it on my own. Hold on. You'll find it there. Can't find it in the Crusader Room. Anyways, we were laughing at the video. He actually got YouTube footage from Machine Gun America of computer animated families shooting up jihadis. From the Machine Gun America page. It's actually, here it is. NRA-generated machine gun mentality is a conservative sacrament. And they have. It has become a conservative sacrament. And there it is. So I'm going to go through some news headlines, but the video is on my YouTube, the official King Dude YouBoob account, if you want to watch it. Here's a headline. We have some great headlines and great stuff to talk about here today. Cardinal Sarah, this is LifeSiteNews.com. This is actually from Friday. I saw the story Friday. Ran out of time on the show, so I didn't have time to get to it. Read this story. Cardinal Sarah, widespread communion in the hand as part of Satan's attack on the Eucharist. Hallelujah. The head of the Vatican Department overseeing liturgy is summoning the Catholic faithful to return to receiving Holy Communion on the tongue and kneeling. Why don't you, it really is shocking that people don't get what it is. And this is how you know that the church is in a serious, greatest crisis since Athanasius, St. Athanasius. The concept of the real presence and what it is that you're about to receive is totally gone. It's lost. It's a ritual. It's nothing more than a ritual. For most, it has very little meaning, if any meaning at all, which is why you can treat it so flippantly. Now, I talked about this one day, and again, this is not a boast or a brag. I just wanted to relay this story. I talked about this one day, and I talked about it solemnly, reverently, and I tried to with heart and compassion about the profanity that's being visited upon the precious body, the blessed sacrament, the precious body of our Lord and Savior. Just wrong. Now, I don't damn the people that are practicing it, because they don't know. They don't have catechists in their church that are telling them these things. Now, ignorance is no excuse. I understand that. But when they're informed about this, when someone becomes informed and begins to think upon it and meditate and contemplate it, they react. My experience is they react with some shame, disgust, and horror when they consider it what it is that they're doing. So I got a letter from a listener about 3 weeks ago, after we did that show and we talked about it. I talked about it for maybe 15 or 20 minutes. I received an email from a listener the next day, and he's thanking me. And he said, "Mike, I had never heard that before. I'd never considered it. I'd never thought about real presence and all that. He goes, I just called my rectory, the rectory, where I am a Eucharistic minister, and told him I quit, not doing it anymore. He said, now I have to deal with the fact that then I'm like, and I should have written it back and go, you know what, sir, I'm happy that you got some contemplation out of that. It was not meant to shame anyone. It was just meant to consider what it is that we're doing to the Blessed Sacrament. That's all. No attempt to defame or anything, or you know, cause infamy to be visited to anyone. Nothing of the sort. Anyways, I think that this is going to be again viewed in the near future as this will be. The communion in the hand and the, quote, Eucharistic minister, close quote, is going to be an anachronism. In the preface to a new book on the subject, Cardinal Robert Serra, the prefect of the Congregation for Divine Worship, writes, the most insidious diabolical attack consists in trying to extinguish faith in the Eucharist by sowing errors and fostering an unsuitable way of receiving it. Truly the war between Michael and his angels on one side and Lucifer on the other continues in the hearts of the faithful, close quote. And he continues, Satan's target is the sacrifice of the Mass and the real presence of Jesus in the consecrated host, he said. The new book by Don Federico Bartoli was released in Italian under the title The Distribution of Communion on the Hand, a Historical, Juridical, and Pastoral Survey. Recalling the centenary of the Fatima apparitions, Cardinal Serra writes that the angel of peace who appeared to the three shepherd children in advance of the Blessed Virgin's visit, quote, shows us how we should receive the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, close quote. His eminence then identifies the outrages by which Jesus is offended today in the Holy Eucharist, including so-called intercommunion. By the way, there's a horrible scandal that is brewing in Germany. German bishops are out there making pronunciations and declarations of faith that they do not have the authority to make. And someone needs to call them out. It's Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, King Size, featuring King Size Truth from radio size speakers at 844-527-8723. I'll come back to that one. John Zmirak actually has awakened from his self-imposed apostasy and written something worthy of all of us reading for a change. Yay, Zmirak. Nice to have you back, Johnny. Zmirak, Our Culture, A School for Cowards, like Deputy Scott Peterson. The butchery of Chirons in Parkland, Florida, stokes in us both grief and inarticulate rage. One family after another watches the child in whom they'd sunk their hopes lowered slowly into the ground. And we hunger for answers. There may be some easy ones, ready to hand. Cheap band-aids to slow the bleeding. This gun law or that gun law. This scheme for policing schools or that one. I don't know which ones would work. And I've learned not to trust the elite's appointed experts. By the way, while Father Jonathan Morris was canonizing Billy Graham on Friday on Fox News, and I'll play you the clip in a minute, while Father Morris was canonizing Billy Graham and inducting him into the communion of saints, every other, quote, conservative, close quote, media outlet on earth in the echo chamber was canonizing St. Dana Lash. So if you need a miracle performed, I think she's on air daily on her, in a radio station in St. Louis, I want to say. Don't bother with going to Fatima or Lourdes or anything like that. Just go find St. Dana and ask her, you know, to give you a little blessing. She might even hand you a clip full of 45 bullets if you're really nice. And she'll take care of it. Thus, the era in which we live. Zmirak. You know what most of them are telling us? Or you know what most of them are telling us? This time, no, really this time, we need to turn in all our guns and trust the nice men from the government. The same government which ignored dozens of warnings about the killer, which was told that he boasted online about aspiring to become a professional school shooter using his real name, Nicholas Cruz, which wasn't something really common like Pedro Lopez or Jason Smith, but weird and easy to track down, kind of like John Zmirak. Then under the subheading, what kind of men are we making? Tune out the noise. We need deeper answers. So we must ask starter questions, like an experienced pastor speaking to a sinner or a surgeon searching out cancer. We have to probe to interrogate ourselves as a nation and grill our collective conscience. The most important answer we need right now is this one. Here's Zmirak's question. Now, does anyone want to answer this? Here's my phone number, 844-527-8723. Yes, Cardinal Sarah would make a great pope. I think we need Leo the 14th. People say, "Mr. Church, we need a Pius." No, I think we need a Leo. We need a lion. Here's Mirak's question. Are you ready? How did Marika produce a man like this? Where did we go wrong, or is there anything we can do? Now, this is where Zmirak gets crafty. And that's why I say this is a well-written piece with a good question. He's not talking about Nicholas Cruz. He's talking about Scott Peterson, the coward deputy sheriff, a deputized member of law enforcement, right? Who was on duty and on guard, supposedly there to protect those children on that day. Zmirak. That's why we send young men to war, because all young men have violent urges. Grotesque public violence is also contagious, as one wicked young man's screw tape after another directs him in the imitation of Columbine. You know, note they're not imitating Jesus, as per Thomas Akempis. They're not imitating Bishop Sheen, as in Archbishop Fulton Sheen. They're not imitating St. Gerard Magellan or St. John of the Cross or St. Teresa of Lisieux, any of the saints of the modern era that, you know, we have photographs and actually know what they look like and are very well versed in their work. St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, St. Pio of Petrocella, the list could go, No. They want to be Dylan Klebold or the other nutbag. Gee, maybe there's a linkage here. While the faith has been taken to powder, what's ascendant? The demons, diabolical behavior. Did you see the story the other day? Pope Francis alarmed at the reports that he's getting of the amount of exorcisms that are being requested of priests in dioceses around the world, going like, "We don't know what's going on, but we got a lot of people that are possessed." Back to Zmirak. What we need to know is how and why goodness failed. How did Marika emit a man like Deputy Sheriff Scott Peterson? That's the deputy who was on site during the shooting. Peterson spent two-thirds of the bloody massacre cowering outside waiting for help. Meanwhile, inside, brave students and teachers sacrificed their own lives to save others. Peterson could hear the screams of panic from the children who were in his charge, whom he was being paid $80,000 per year to protect. And he froze, awaiting the cavalry, or perhaps for the shooter to use up his ammunition. Then it would be, quote, safe for Peterson to go in. Once all the bullets were safely lodged in lifeless young bodies, then he could waddle in, count the corpses, and file a nice report. Oh, what a star-spangled, awesome law enforcement officer you are. That's me saying that, not Zmirek. And then Zmirek says, after completing this piece, I found out that three more Broward County deputies showed up. They also stayed safely outside. It took the Coral Springs Police Department showing up for anyone to actually enter the building. In other words, the cops actually drinking their own Kool-Aid now. Now, I'm getting ready to say something here that's not going to make win me any friends among some of you, and I want to preface it by saying I don't mean this specifically aimed at any one individual. And I don't mean it as a blanket condemnation either. And yes, I am very well aware of the sacrifices many men that wear the uniform of a police officer have to make for pursuing a career in law enforcement. So having said all that, you hear the famous police officers that are stars of Fox and Friends and Sean Hannity and whatever other show you see on conservative media repeating a line that I guess their FPOs or FOPs, Fraternal Order of Polices, have drilled into their heads now and has become dogma. What's the line? Minister Church, what's the line? You better be careful. Cops, listen to your show. That's why I said I'm going to preface this. The line is, my first duty is to my family and to come home alive every night. Okay? Then you shouldn't have chosen law enforcement, sir. I understand you have a family. I agree with you. You have a duty to come home alive. That's not the role that a law enforcement officer unfortunately plays in 2018. There are wackos out there. There are demons that are preying upon wackos out there. There are armed madmen. There's disregard for human life at a clip that never before in the history of mankind we can bear witness to every single day when the cries of 3,000 or so human souls are snuffed out by abortionists. We live in a cult of death. This is unfortunate. I would not wish to be a police officer today. But the fact is, when you agree to be a police officer, you have to know the risk in 2018. If you stay on as a police officer, there's a chance you may get that call. You, not being willing to step into that breach, put your own life on the line to save the life. And look, again, that's not a blanket condemnation. Do not call me and scream at me. Do not send me hate mail. I'm not accusing any of you that are cops of anything. But you know you work with people who are out there repeating this dogma. My first duty is to come home alive every night to my family. If you think like that, and if you acted like the cowards in Broward County, Meter Church, you weren't there, you didn't know. I didn't take the oath, dude. I did not take the oath. I'm not trying to play armchair police. Well, there's protocols. You don't enter a building. You're a man, for heaven's sake. Those are children inside. Grow a freaking set of testicles. Have a spinal implant done, transplant done, and do what you would do if that was your kid in that building. You run into the burning building. Real grown men don't run away from the burning building when their wives and their children are inside dying of smoke inhalation. Same true police officers and this shooting. Now, if you take the oath and you wear the badge and you conduct your duty and you do your duty, repeating the dogma and believing in it, your job is to come home safe, alive, to your family that night. You've just prevented someone who will take the oath and who doesn't repeat that dogma from becoming the police officer that might have ran into that building and might have had it out with that nutbag and might have killed him before he could take other innocent lives. 844-527-8723. Now, that guy's got to live with that the rest of his life. I understand that. John Zmirak, what goes through such a man's mind at such a moment? Had he no devotion to duty? This wasn't some 18-year-old draftee wetting his pants and dropping his gun on foreign shores in a war he doesn't understand. That happens in every conflict. Peterson volunteered to wear a badge, carry a service gun, and enforce duly elected enacted laws. He'd done it for 33 years. He'd even promoted a boondoggle that let police live in trailers on the grounds of public schools. All those out there saying that what we need in the schools is more cops, better policing, better school security, and of course, bulletproof book bags, right? Bulletproof book bags, bulletproof helmets now. You know, we need a phantom helicopter, a school helicopter on duty, you know, an armored APC carrier outside. I guarantee you there's an APC out there. They wouldn't go in that building. You can't guarantee me anything, sir. You're not a prophet, are you? And then Zmirak. Well, we have to ask ourselves. Manhood corrupted is the subheading. But we have to ask ourselves, how do we become a country that produces men like Scott Peterson? The answers are complex and deserve not an essay, but a book or series of books. Still, they share a common theme. That is the corruption of masculinity. Yes, feminists are shrieking their hatred of everything masculine, from defending national borders to desiring nubile young women. But what they hate had already been tainted, split off from its proper purposes, and turned into a tyrant. The sexual revolution and its patron saint, Hugh Hefner, managed that. They showed us that sexual pleasure could be nicely severed from the only biological reasons it exists, to produce our kind, protect our young, and love their mothers. Why not do the same with the other main drive that men contend with? Violence and aggression. God gave us those drives so we could defend ourselves and our families, our assent or assert our legitimate rights and stand up for the defenseless. Siphon that off into video games, TV sports, and social media trolling. Hire a few grunts to work as cops or soldiers who will do the heavy lifting. We're off the hook. Again, we can cream off the pleasure without doing the work. How should young males ever learn to be men? We don't even know how to tell people to be human anymore. Hell, John, we can't even tell them to be males. You can't even ask them to be males anymore. The culture we swim pumps into our every pore an incoherent mishmash. In social justice class, we learn to pretend that each one of us is a unique and fragile snowflake, exquisitely vulnerable to microaggressions and slights. Then in science class, we play the game of believing that we're nothing more than random chemical accidents. We will wink out of existence the moment our brain stops humming, and nothing will ever matter except to score, we towed it up on the pleasure versus pain display. Then the video game reboots, but in real life, we don't get a replay. I want to return to this theme. I got a couple of other ones here. Let's see here. This is just ridiculous. Delaware may let students choose their race, gender, without parental consent. Did you see this? Regis Nicole at Crisis Magazine. It's time to do something. Brother Andre Marie at Catholicism.org. Now, we're going to talk about this next segment. Billy Graham's Catholic apotheosis. And then there is this from Mitter Simpson on Friday. The topsy-turvy 12 days of Christmas. Now, he handed me this with a bunch of post-it notes on it so I could talk about it. We'll do all that when we come back here on the Crusade Channel featuring King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers.
The following is a public service announcement from the Mike Church Show. We're not afraid to call a spade, a heretic, an Ariana Grande, a perverted adult, pimping porn disguised as music to 8-year-old girls. It wasn't long ago that trash like that would land you in the slammer.
He did 6 months in Chino for exposing himself to an 8-year-old. When he moved to Hollywood, he had to go door to door to tell everyone he was a pederast.
The Mike Church Show, exposing the perverted exposers on the Crusade Channel. King Size Truth from Radio Sized Speakers.
8-year-olds, dude.
On September 3rd, Howe released Sullivan, and with him, he sent a letter addressed to Congress. The letter was an appeal for peace, if only the American army would stand down, and if the Congress would send some of its members to treat with the admiral, but there was a catch. Howe would not recognize Congress as a legal body and would only hold the talks with private gentlemen. In response, Ben Franklin, John Adams, and Edward Rutledge agreed to meet on September the 11th on Staten Island at Howe's residence. At the meeting, Howe refused to offer any assurances that the colonies would be given better treatment than they had experienced on the build-up to war. We also learn here that Franklin informs Howe that even if the three men wanted to negotiate on behalf of the states, they couldn't, because Congress did not have that power. Only the newly independent states could enter such an agreement, proving again that the Declaration of Independence had not created one indivisible blob of America, but had only united independent states together for common purposes. The conference ended, and Howe expressed sorrow at what was about to occur. Washington informed Hancock what he thought Howe was up to.
September 6, 1776. As the enemy's movements are very different from what we expected, and from their large encampments a considerable distance up the Sound, there's reason to believe they intend to make a landing above or below Kingsbridge, and thereby to hem in our army and cut off the communication with the country. I mean to call a council of war and endeavor to digest and fix upon some regular and certain system of conduct to be pursued in order to baffle their efforts and counteract their schemes, and also determine on the expediency of evacuating or attempting to maintain the city and the several posts on this island. That the enemy mean to winter in New York, there can be no doubt. That with such an armament they can drive us out is equally clear.
Drive a million miles
Welcome back to Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, featuring king-size truth for radio-size speakers. On a Monday, we are live. Asking you to take 8 weeks of daily doses. Now, you actually need the 8 weeks, you people. 8 weeks of daily doses of the Founding Fathers Red Pill. Desert Founding Fathers Red Pill. Claim your philosophy of Podenish thinking skills. Become members of the self-governing people of the United States. Not a job, it's a way of life. Folks, our campaign to sign 400 of you up as founding brothers who are currently basic monthly and basic yearly members continues. We check the mail every day thinking that maybe today's the day. The 30 large is going to arrive. It's a check. Go to my website at MikeChurch.com and read my appeal or sign up for the Daily Republican email newsletter on the site at MikeChurch.com/email. Now, I am aware that that's going to return a 404 error today. That's because I made the little, they're called bookend commercials. I made the bookends before I made the redirect to /email. But you can sign up for the Daily Republican and get your $10 to use in the Founders Trading Post for that beautiful new, what are you going to call that rosary? Miraculous medal? It's, you ought to send one like that to Jeanine Turner. Give her the full treatment. Mrs. O'Connell's got brand new rosaries from the Little Bayou Rosary, R-O-S-E-R-O-Y. Remind me to make a commercial for that, or to have Celeste make one. I'll get Celeste. I'll have Celeste make it. I will ask, request Mrs. Youngblood to make it. It's getting very frisky lately with barking orders out to me. Hey, you! Kidding about that. Anyways, you can shop in the Founders Trading Post, MikeChurch.com/shop all day today. Pick yourself up some Crusade Capuchin Dark Roast Coffee, those Holy Rosaries, autograph books. I'm going to have Charles Coulomb on the program later this week, whatever day I can get him. Chris Ferrara is coming on Wednesday. If you don't have a copy of Chris's book, get one in the store, Liberty the Guy That Failed. We have them signed and are on their way to us by Chris. But back to the membership drive. It's going well. And, you know, we got an ad this month in the latest edition of Catholic Family News. We have a full-page ad coming out courtesy of Beverly and Harry Stevens from Regina Magazine, which I ask you to purchase a hard copy of. And you can read the magazine online at reginamag.com. So there's pressure on the nut that's holding the channel back. By the way, what was our friend's name? Mark in Oregon. Mark, I have not forgotten about your business card, brother. Sister. She's got a little tied up on Friday. We'll get to it today. All that stuff's happening, and you can visit our websites at MikeChurch.com, my site, which we develop and try and improve every day, and CrusadeChannel.com, company site, which we develop and try and improve every day. All your suggestions are welcome. I want to read a letter. I was just talking about Cardinal Sarah and this preface that he wrote for this book on the Holy Eucharist. And there are several listeners out there. Now, if you're a new listener, you need to know this. There are listeners of this channel, Crusade Channel, and this show right now that are in the process through the RCIA of converting to Catholicism. Does your AM radio station, quote, Catholic, close quote, produce that? Now, that's not a boast. That's not a brag. It's a fact. I don't say it so that I can pat myself on the back and so that Our Lady can escort me to heaven personally because I'm so star-spangled holy. I say it because things happen in and around this channel and this little thing that we're doing here. Mrs. Melissa Linscomb and Mrs. Rita Dillaway do an amazing service out there. You don't know this, but you can email them, crusadermonastery@crusadechannel.com, and tell them You have a prayer request, doesn't matter what it is, and they'll add it to the list. And if you want to join that list, you could. I think Melissa is emailing the request out on a weekly basis or as they're updated. People are doing those sorts of things. They're going to RCIA classes. Now, again, I only say this so that as you contemplate whether or not you want to listen to this channel or give the 8 weeks, bear that in mind. Again, I don't know any other way to say it without being accused of being prideful. It's not a prideful statement. I tried to say it as humbly as I could. Well, Mike, you should let somebody else say that. Okay, maybe I should. This is the most listened to part on the channel. So it's a good opportunity to inform people of this. And many of you have offered masses up. I get your emails. You tell me that. You know, you've asked, you've offered prayers. You need to know that some of that is having an effect. I don't think God minds us occasionally knowing that our aura et labora has produced goodness, the good, the true, and the beautiful. As a matter of fact, I know he doesn't. Now, I just wanted to throw that in before I read this letter because Mrs. Giuliano is a regular listener and contributor here on the via email. She is also in the chat room from time to time. And we have been following her and her husband's journey through their conversion. I think you'll find this interesting. Good morning, Miniature. We recently went to our first adoration 2 Saturdays ago as an RCIA group, which was extremely moving. I had discussed the common communion practices before this with my husband, and when we were leaving, he said to me that he does not know how he can participate with the Eucharist without kneeling. The following Sunday, we were discussing the Eucharist in our class, and someone asked what happens if the consecrated host is spilled on the floor. Now, I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to say that I have actually witnessed what happens if you have a reverent priest around. I'll tell you what happens, because I've seen it. He stopped what he was doing. He put his chalice on the altar and basically stopped anyone. It was like it was a crime scene for Father Bozand. I saw him do it. And he was like yellow tape line. Eucharist on floor. Do not cross. And he went and he picked it up. And then he gingerly was dabbing the floor with his finger to get any crumbs that may have fallen off of the precious body. And when he was satisfied that he had gotten it all, then, and only then, did he allow the procession to continue. And then he went and placed that host and the remains of it in its own vessel so it could be properly discarded. I believe they either burn it or they bury it. Or he could, that's right, he consumed it right there. So, Sandy, that's what happens. And when you think about it, you just dropped on the floor the savior of the human race. Gee, thanks. Is Jesus looking up at you going like, really, dude? You had to handle one thing, and you fumbled me. But it's really a serious matter. So back to Sandy's letter. Then someone joked that our organizer would never eat these off the floor, and she said, yes, she would. Okay, well, I'm not sure about how appropriate that is. I can't comment on it because I don't know, but I know that I've seen a priest do it, so I can tell you that. My husband asked shortly after, mentioning the adoration and how we should kneel then. Why we do not kneel when receiving the sacrament. No one felt the practice was necessary. They did mention how it was common prior to Vatican II, And honestly, there was no good answer. I thought I heard someone mention that it probably shouldn't be done now. My husband was initially extremely angry at the response. Yeah, but Sandy, you planted the seed. Now you just need to water it. Now the seed's been planted. Whoever that person was that was angry and whoever so cavalierly dismissed humbling yourself, humiliating yourself on your knees, I am not even worthy to be standing in your presence. And I'm going to stand? That is an ominous thought, is it not? Which is why the restoration of acknowledgement of the real presence is important, methinks. All right, so back to Sandy. We have not yet participated in the Eucharist. I have seen one woman in our parish who receives the host on the tongue, but I have not seen anyone kneel, and there are no kneelers. Is it not allowed, then, for anyone to kneel? My husband intends to axe at our own church, but I'd like to know outside comments as well. Thank you, as always, for your kind support to the convert audience. God bless Sandy in New Jersey. Sandy, I'm going to answer this question, and anyone else wants to answer it, you can answer it in the chat room at MikeChurch.com. Click the Mike Church Show live chat, or you can send me an email, and I'll be happy to forward it to her. My email address, KingDude@MikeChurch.com. Since I was in your husband's position, Mrs. Sandy, I can tell you what you must do. Now, this is not going to be easy on you or him. I suspect you will be viewed as a couple that is deranged, has three heads, and the one in the middle is square and purple. But this is what you should do. When you do get to go to receive the Blessed Sacrament, pick the side that the priest is on. Don't go to the Eucharistic minister. Pick the side that the priest is on intentionally. By definition, pick it. Now, he cannot refuse you the sacrament. And there is no obligation that you have for this standing and amen business. You know, this came about, by the way, when Pope John Paul II made his tour of Marica and Cuba, because so many people wanted to receive communion at these events that there was no way that he could possibly do it. So that's where the concept came from. Anyways, when you're on your way up, learn the centurion's prayer, Sandy. Don't worry if they're not saying it. You can learn it on your own. It's easy. Domine, non sum dignus. Ut entries sed tectum meum, sed tantum dic verbo, et sanabitar anima mea. It's really easy. I'll send it to you. It's really easy. Learn the centurion's prayer. Say it three times on your way. When you get there, drop to your knees, look up into heaven, and open your mouth. He has no choice but to give it to you. Now, you shouldn't do this as a matter of pride because you want to make the priest uncomfortable. You want to make a show and a spectacle out of it. So pray upon being humble. You're doing it out of humility. And somebody's going to say, that's kind of, you're standing out. That's not humble, Mike. You're humbling yourself before the only entity in that room that matters for your eternity. You can get to a blessed, holy death and a blessed eternity without that priest, without those ministers. You can't get there without him, capital H. So, I believe you actually have the right to receive from a priest. His hands are consecrated. They're very long and low, it used to be, probably isn't anymore. Anyways, that's what I would do. That's what I've done. And I only say this because I have experience in having done it. And just be prepared, I would say, for commentary, shall we say, after the fact. 844-527-8723 is our telephone number. here on the Mike Church Show on the Crusade Channel, featuring king-size truth from radio-size speakers, reminding you that when the show is over at 10 a.m. Central, 11 Eastern, we immediately play the first hour from this program, and we replay it. And at 11 Central, noon Eastern, you get Crusade Channel News and Crusade Channel News Extra. That is an entire hour of the best radio news in radio news, and followed by my commentary and errata with today's special guest. So it's a live hour of radio that's almost every day, but the news is every day, and is updated. It's current. And something you can listen to during your lunch hour. And then every afternoon from 2 to 3 Central, you can listen to the Barrett Brief from Richard Barrett, which is also live every day. And if you want to call, you can even call Richard. It's the same number that you're currently not using to call me. 844-527-8723. I want to play you a digital media file.
I can't believe I even have to ask something about negative comments that people are writing online about him. Teen Vogue's columnist, Lauren Duca, she's an American writer. She wrote something really disgusting about him that I won't repeat.
Billy Graham is him.
What are your comments? What do you say? What's your reaction to people, these naysayers?
Wait a minute. This is Father Jonathan Morris, the resident Catholic priest for Fox News.
Will you have a problem with what he did?
Ainsley, I appreciate that you don't want to say it. I will say it. You know, she said something about Billy Graham. I hope you enjoy being in a very bad place. Let's put it that way. And, you know, he got that in his own life. He had tremendous pressure. You know, he became a unifier in this country. And when you become a unifier, you get pressure and you get critics. And no, he wasn't a perfect man. None of us are. Mm-hmm. None of us are. But he was a man who said, I am going to focus on the essential, and I'm also mm-hmm. going to bring people into the flock. Mm-hmm. And what a man. And I'm so inspired by him. And I believe he's in heaven right now enjoying the presence of God.
Oh, my goodness. Now, you just heard a beatification right there in front of your ears. The Protestant Reverend Billy Graham, who lived 100 years in denial of the authority of the Pope and the magisterial teaching of the church, was just beatified on Fox and Friends by Father Jonathan Morris. This is a scandal. Again, what in the Hades is going on here? Now, I got to separate a couple of things. Number one, separate his personal affinity and affection for, by the way, when I say this, you're going to say, oh, you're ripping off Limbaugh now. Well, Rush didn't invent this. This is the way when William F. Buckley was on Firing Line and the topic of Jesse Jackson would come up, he would say, I would like to talk now about the Reverend Jackson. That's Buckley. That's not Limbaugh. So when I say the Reverend Graham, that's not Rush. Your church, you're ripping Limbaugh. No, I'm not. He got it from William F. Buckley. The Reverend Jackson. So the Reverend Graham. It doesn't have anything to do with the affection or affinity, which is fine. No one would object to it, I wouldn't think. For the person that was Billy Graham, I was talking to someone after Mass yesterday about this. I said, you know, has anyone given any thought to the idea, possibly, that maybe God let Billy Graham live to 100, going like, hi, I'm going to give you another chance to convert before you come and see me and get some judgment. I happen to think that God is very merciful and that he does extend time on this earth to those that he knows, and only he knows this, are facing the possibility of a shall we say, not preferred outcome to judgment, which we know is certain. Death, judgment, heaven, hell, four final things. And that he allows, what is St. Paul? From my evangelical and Protestant friends, you know this. Work out your salvation with what? Fear and trembling. But he says, he writes, I think I said to Corinthians, work it out. Work it out with fear and trembling. And when you work it out with fear and trembling, what are you afraid of? You know, people love to parse scriptures and quote them back to me and call me a stupid idiot Catholic and with this and that and the other. Have you ever pondered what to be afraid of? You already made your vow, accept my Jesus and my personal Lord and Savior. Bam-o, you're done. Why would you need to work it out? What should you be afraid of? Not hitting the lottery? What should you be afraid of? Getting a flat tire on the way to work? It's a very poignant thought, don't you think? Work it out with fear and trembling. And then as he writes of his temptations, that he wishes he could cut body parts off. He hated the temptation so badly. Why? If all you got to do is say once, click your heels three times, there's no place like home. Bam, oh, you're done. Why fear? Why trembling? So, the point is, Father Morris should know. Now, he did this publicly. Mr. Church, you shouldn't be talking about priests, but he did this publicly. That's a public scandal. Now, in saying I believe that he's in heaven, somebody's going to say, well, isn't that his opinion? Yeah, it is his opinion. He is entitled to it, as you all love to say, because he's American and he's a free will and all that. However, should he be allowed or should he commit so grave of an error in public? That's the question. Now, as Brother Andre Marie writes about this, my next reconquest will be an interview with Charles Coulomb on the subject, the canonization of Billy Graham. But I would also like to write some things about the vast outpouring of Catholic eulogies for the popular preacher, which phenomenon is a signum temporum for the church itself. Here is a micro-catalog of Catholic eulogies for Mr. Graham. How Billy Graham Shaped American Catholicism by John M. Sweeney at americamagazine.org. What? I mean, all these people are saying is what Brother Francis says in Apologetics Lecture Number 7. They're all trying to eliminate the one dogma that outside the church there is no salvation. That is all of this is for one purpose, brother says. And he's right. And he dedicated like 50 years of his life fighting it. What have we done? What are we doing? Brother Andre continues, U.S. bishops, Catholic leaders praise Christian witness of Billy Graham. This is at the NationalCatholicRegister.com. Here's another one. Billy Graham, RIP by Stephen D. Gradenus at NationalCatholicRegister.com. Here's another one. I already talked about Father Longenecker's piece of Pathos last week. Actually, it began at the Catholic Herald, brother. Here's another one. Statement of Cardinal Dolan on the passing of Billy Graham at archny.org. That's on the Archdiocese of New York's official website. Tweet by Raymond Arroyo. And then her brother says, I like the man, but this is really, really bad. And he links to the tweet. 844-527-8723 is our telephone number. Where did my caller go? Ah, he well, he popped. Okay. All right. Because I would, I was going to bring him on real quick. Brother continues. Those suffice for now, and I will not add more because putting in all those links takes time, and there are many, 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 many more such pieces. Catholics are falling all over themselves, trying to show how much they really love Billy Graham, appreciate all the good work he did for Christ, and are quite hopeful that, due to his celebrated Christian commitment, the lovable evangelist is well on his way to beatitude. Even if he has to pass through the unpleasant place of purgation he didn't believe in while he was on this earth. Here's Arroyo's tweet. R.I.P. Billy Graham, a true evangelist and a spiritual icon to millions. So, Raymond, does that mean that all the Catholics out there that are practicing the faith are fake evangelists? You know, folks, the time for dealing with these things, as if we're terrified of what someone's going to think about us, is over. Get over yourself. Get over your pride. And have the confidence that true belief should instill in you. Don't worry about it. Ataraxia, brother calls it. Brother Andre plays links to the Father Jonathan Morris piece, and he goes, okay, scratch that last bit. That's a good one, brother. The celebrity priest below, interviewed on Fox News, apparently ruled out the prospect of purgatory in favor of the Santo Subito approach. So in other words, Protestant evangelical ministers don't even have to go through purgatory now. They go straight to the beatific vision. That is awesome. So you got to be asking a question, why am I doing Lenten sacrifice and going to confession and treating every Sunday as a holy day of obligation, et cetera, if all I got to do is click my heels together three times, say one sentence, and I'm done, one and done? Why? What's the point? Graham said that? Wow. Standing in stark contrast to the indifferentist love feast is a tweet from Rorati Chaley. I'll read it to you. Billy Graham was a major, quote, Billy Graham was a major inspiration for a global wave of Protestant preachers who removed hundreds of millions of faithful from the Catholic Church. The inept Catholic hierarchy was most to blame. But preachers like Graham caused immense loss of souls to the church. Close quote. You know, folks, we're in 2018, so that means that we're 89 years from Golgotha, from the Marys. And St. John the Evangelist at the foot of the cross and then from the resurrection. That's a pretty good estimate of time. I think we can rule out any possibility that we can say or do anything that hasn't already been done. I think we can also rule out any possibility that after 2,000 years, it's a safe bet that with all the internecine attacks and external attacks that have been waged against the bark of St. Peter and the Church of Rome, the universal church, that because it has survived and because it cannot revoke its own statements on dogma and truth, even though it desperately tries to imply that it can. These are men doing this. It's a safe bet that if you know something to be catechetical and dogmatic, that 2,000 years of history says you ought to just go ahead and do it, okay, and not worry about what plants crave. Now, we live, though, amongst people that don't believe that. And they are inside. Inside the Church of Extra Ecclesiam Nulla Salus. They're in it, and they don't believe it. This is the problem and the challenge for humanity. It addresses the nutbag teenage boys that go and blow, mow people down in schools. It addresses the never-ending wars. It addresses abortion, sodomy, name it. But it's the one question and the one statement that with it, a holy death and a blessed death and a blessed eternity can be achieved. And without it, it can't. Now, I'm sorry. Either you believe, now again, I apologize to those that take offense to this. I'm not trying to offend. I don't wish to offend anyone. I didn't wake up this morning and wish to offend. As a matter of fact, I wish Maggie O'Connell had not sent me this story that brother wrote. That way I could have avoided it. I could have talked about the Olympics for the rest of the day. I do not wish to be holding this chalice in my hand. But since I am, then I'm going to do it. It is the one statement, though. One. Either you believe it and you live it or you don't. Simple as that. This is not a maybe or. You're not kind of pregnant. Either you're in or you're out. Very simple, very, I think, beautiful, but drives men to war. Extra Ecclesiam Nulla Salus. Simple as that. One sentence changes men from friends to foes. From happy-go-lucky relations to I'm never talking to him again. He's not invited to Christmas dinner. The only question that remains, one, when you say the creed, do you really mean it? There are 12 statements in the creed. Do you mean it? And number two, are you willing to defend it, even if it means giving up your life? Pretty simple. And yet here we have this cacophony of Catholics that are supposed to know better and yet don't. And either they do know and they reject, or they're ignorant in their catechism, which is, to me, the same as a rejection. You can know it. It's not hard to find. It's not that you have to have a degree to get this. 844-527-8723. Now, that's my telephone. Anyone that doubts this and doubts some of what was just said, I'm going to share a story with you that was yesterday's Saint of the Day at Butler's Lives of the Saints. Listen to this. Very brief, short. Saint Victorinus and six companions, martyrs. Now, this comes from a Chaldean priest. And he would have known this because it would have been part of a tradition that was either orally or literally passed down near Chaldea, or wherever the Chaldeans were. Saint Victorinus and six companion martyrs. Now, how many of you watched The Walking Dead? Right? This is where Negan got the idea for Lucille, okay? I'm about to share it with you. I should have played the air raid siren, huh? By the way, did everybody get the link? It's in the download store now and the on-demand store for the air raid warning siren for your telephones that you can... Here it comes! I should have played it before I started reading Brother Andre. Okay, so here comes now. You've got the air raid warning siren, so you've had plenty of chance to flee. Truth's coming your way. These seven martyrs, St. Victorinus and six companions, were citizens of Corinth and confessed their faith before Tertius, the proconsul, in their own country in 249 AD. So what's that? 210 years after ascension. Passion, death, passion, resurrection, ascension. In the beginning of the reign of Decius. After their torments, they passed into Egypt, whether by compulsion or by voluntary banishment is not known, and there finished their martyrdom at Diospolis, capital of Thebes, in the reign of Numerian in 284 under the governor Sabinus. After the governor had tried the constancy of martyrs by racks, scourges, and various inventions of cruelty, he caused Victorinus to be thrown into a great mortar. The Greek mythology says, of marble. The executioners began by pounding his feet and legs, saying to him at every stroke, "Spare yourself, wretch. It depends upon you to escape this death. If you will only renounce your new God." By the way, there's some, I'm just going to drop this in real quick. There is a passage in the book of Daniel that Luther cut out of his Bible because it was inconvenience to him. And there was rejection of extra ecclesial nulla salus. It's about the pagan god Bel, B-E-L. And in the story of Bel, what do we learn? The emperor says to Daniel, "That's my God, dude. You cannot blaspheme my God." And Daniel said, "That ain't your God. That's a fraud." And go read the story for yourself. Basically, the emperor finds out that Bel is not eating the food that is sacrificed and left there for him, that the families of the priests are eating it at night because they have a secret door under the table. And anyways. This is the confidence with which Daniel, because he knew there was one God and that Bel wasn't it, and the confidence with which these martyrs, St. Victorinus, were martyred, and the story I'm sharing with you can guarantee yourself at that moment in 284, those seven men believed extra ecclesiam nulla salus. If they didn't, then it would have been no problem for them to go, "I quick my heels three times. I'm already saved." Yeah, so what? Yeah, your dragon god's cool. Yeah, and that's cool. And avoid martyrdom. Especially when you hear how it was performed. They didn't. How dare we in the modern era slander these men and all the other martyrs who did the same thing. It's Mike Churchill here on the Crusade Channel, featuring king-size truth from radio-sized speakers. I would love to hear from you. You can call me. My telephone number, 844-527-8723. If you like what you're hearing, you have a duty to support this, says Chris Ferrara. Please go and sign up today at crusadechannel.com. If you are currently a Founders Pass member, please go and sign in anyways and consider upgrading to founding, brother, or higher. Our goal is to recruit 400 new converts from basic yearly and basic monthly to founding brother level to avoid a financial shortcoming, shall we say. So thank you for those of you that have already done that, for those of you that already made donations, which you can do at any time on the same site. You can make one every day if you want. at crusadechannel.com. Now back to the story. The executioners began by pounding his feet and his legs, saying to him at every stroke, "Spare yourself, wretch! It depends upon you to escape this death, if you will only renounce your new god." The prefect grew furious at his constancy and at length commanded his head to be beaten to pieces. The sight of this mortar, so far from casting a damp on his companions, seemed to inspire them with the greater ardor to be treated in the like manner, so that when the tyrant threatened Victor with the same death, he only desired him to hasten the execution, and pointing to the mortar said, "In that is salvation and true felicity prepared for me." He was immediately cast into it and beaten to death. Nicephorus, the third martyr, was impatient of delay and leaped of his own accord into the bloody mortar. The judge, enraged at his boldness, commanded not one, but many executioners at once to pound him in the same manner. He caused Claudian the fourth to be chopped in pieces and his bleeding joints to be thrown at the feet of those who were yet living. He expired after his feet, hands, arms, legs, and thighs were cut off. The tyrant, pointing to his mangled limbs and scattered bones, said to the other three, "It concerns you to avoid this punishment. I do not compel you to suffer." The martyrs answered with one voice, "On the contrary, we rather pray that if you have any other more exquisite torment, you would inflict it on us. We are determined never to violate the fidelity which we owe to God or to deny Jesus Christ, our Savior, for he is our God, from whom we have our being and to whom alone we aspire." The tyrant became almost distracted with fury and commanded Diodorus to be burnt alive, Serapion to be beheaded, and Papias to be drowned. This happened on the 25th of February, on which day the Roman and other Western martyrologies named them. That's the story of St. Victorinus and six companion martyrs. Now, you're going to tell me that you're so cowardly that you can't say extra ecclesiam nullius salus and believe it because you're going to lose Facebook friends, or because your neighbor or your, even a family member is not going to like you anymore? Victorinus was negand. He wanted Lucille upside his head, and he got it. Now, anyone that says that, well, that was then this is now, you're micturating on the grave of those men and their martyrdom that I just shared with you. You might as well go find their grave, make a trip to Egypt, go find it, go pee on it. You're saying that their sacrifice was not necessary because you clicked your heels together three times, said the magic words, and you and Billy Graham got taken up into heaven on Elijah's chariot. I'm serious. Right there, all they had to do was say, "All right, the sun god is our god, let us go." And they would have been let go. That's all it required. 844-527-8723 is our telephone number. If you want instructions to save that air raid siren that I just played as a ringtone on your phone, the poll has some suggestions in the chat room at MikeChurch.com. Click on Mike Church Show live chat. Now, back to Brother Andre and Marie here on the Mike Church Show on the Crusade Channel. He just quoted Variety Chaley about the Reverend Graham. He said, "The present writer agrees. Billy Graham was a beloved cultural icon. How many men have met with every sitting president since Harry Truman? How many have traveled the world for over six decades speaking about anything to hundreds of millions of people and about 175 nations? What other living person but the Queen of England herself has seen so many days in the limelight? No doubt she will be similarly eulogized at her passing. What's more, the Reverend Graham was lovable, writes Brother Andre Marine, and I mean it. He had a charm, a frankness, and a winning sincerity that was enhanced by his pleasant southern accent and what became, thanks to that shock of snow-white hair when he aged, the look of an Old Testament prophet, sans the beard, and sans harsh prophetical rhetoric. An anti-communist, all American, with a simple message of hope, his life seemed to have been free of serious moral scandal, unlike many other famous evangelical preachers and celebrity Catholic priests, for that matter. And then Brother comes to his defense. The Washington Post attempt at smearing him in that regard failed to live up to its sensationalist headline. I could probably go on saying kind things about the deceased, but the reader no doubt gets the point. To say something like, have fun in hell on the occasion, as some girl, well, Brother, that was the woman from Teen Vogue magazine, said of him, is mean-spirited, pointless, and crass. For our part, Catholics faithful to all the rigors of church teaching should certainly not do that. We should not emulate the professional bores from the Westboro Baptist Church and declare categorically with great glee that a soul has just been damned. But can we please stop scandalizing the planet with the heresy of indifferentism? We are infallibly taught that there is exerclesium nulla salus, no salvation outside the universal church. We are also taught by Venerable Pope Pius IX that the proposition, quote, Protestantism is nothing more than another form of the same true Christian religion, in which form it is given to please God equally as in the Catholic Church, is a condemned error, close quote. Ah, but our less doctrinaire brethren will tell us that we are not to judge. Fine. Judgment goes two ways, damnation and salvation. So everybody stop judging and canonizing the Reverend Graham. That's a judgment too, isn't it? Now, avoiding such judgments, I speak conditionally. If the Reverend Graham is in heaven, or more realistically, in purgatory, now it is because he cooperated with God's actual graces, drawing him to the Catholic faith, and sometime before meeting Jesus Christ as his judge, rejected his favor, his heresy in favor of Catholicism. Now, again, we don't win friends and influence people by saying these things publicly in 2018 because you're not supposed to. I'm supposed to pretend I didn't read that and never mention it again. Brother Andre, you shouldn't even be publishing these sorts of things. Don't you know you're going to make people angry? So angry, then, and loss of material stature or wealth are what matters, right? Now, you just mean. That's just wrong. Isn't it equally wrong and a sin against charity and against hope? As I asked a question the other day, did any of these men, these priests that are canonizing the Reverend Graham, did they try and convert him? Did they visit him in his late age? He was almost 100. He's 99, for heaven's sake. Did they visit him and inform him of what was to transpire very soon and beg him to convert? Or do you just sit by and wait afterwards because you don't really believe it? I think this is the problem, folks. It's not that people don't know what they should do or what we should do, what we should say and how we should say it. It's that we refuse to do it. Like the story, and you're going to hear this in apologetics course number 7. That'll be next week. But you're going to hear this of the leper that was healed by washing in the River Jordan. And the those that were with him said, because he wasn't going to do what the king of Israel told him to do, said, hey, man, why don't you just do what the dude asked you? You acknowledge that he was the one that, you know, to heal the other leper. He told you what to go do, and you told him no. You didn't want to do it that way. Perfectly, perfectly poignant and relevant story there. And then brother gets into some more of this, and again, this will be part of Wednesday night's show with Charles Coulombe. There's a lot of doctrine and stuff in here that I won't bore you with, but Mrs. O'Connell has put the link in the chat room at mikechurch.com so you can go and read it for yourself. And I would suggest that if you're interested in the subject that you do that. There's one other part of what brother writes here. Yes, the Reverend Graham was nice to Catholics. He eventually came to believe that we, too, are Christians. He came to believe that we are. maybe that somehow counts for something, but it is not divine and Catholic faith. Billy Graham was also an indifferentist who told the Dutch Reformed Theology of Self-Esteem preacher Robert Schuller that non-Christians of all sorts will be in heaven with us. No, Reverend Graham, no, they won't. Now, if there's anything to this whole salvation narrative, that is one thing that we should all, regardless of, quote, denomination, close quote, or ecumenism, be able to agree upon. Savages roasting humans alive and eating them and believing that that is a sacrifice worthy of what they think heaven is, are not going. And again, there's more on this. I suggest that you read it on your own. And in Brother Andre's conclusion on Billy Graham's Catholic apotheosis, by the way, this is the same thing with less facts, though, that was performed on George Washington. That, well, he must have converted on his deathbed. He was Star Spangled Awesome, and he was our buddy. He's Sergeant Hulka. He's our big toe. brother's conclusion. May God send us shepherds after his own heart, holy men of prayer and action, who will enlighten the church with the apostolic doctrine, show mercy to those in error by preaching the truth in all its challenging vigor, and stamp out the bane a sentimental theology, and that's what this garbage is. It's sentimental gibberish. Doesn't mean anything. There's no canonical basis for it, other than I want to say something that makes me feel good and makes someone else feel good. If you're making someone else feel good about eternal damnation, what are you doing, for heaven's sake? Literally, figuratively, for heaven's sake. And stamp out the bane of sentimental theology that has so afflicted the church militant in our time. It is the affliction, I think. And if by reverting to the divine and Catholic faith of his baptism in his last moments, Billy Graham did make it, he would give me a big amen. Says Wright's brother. 844-527-8723. 844-5-CRUSADE. Now, again, for those that are maybe new listeners, or for those who maybe just heard this segment or don't usually listen to it and just heard this for the first time and are hopping, raving, raging mad, and are going to send me all manner of email telling me how I'm scripturally wrong, this and that, and the other. It's fine. Go ahead. I totally expect to receive it. I'll try to humbly reply and endure the characterization. But the fact is, that story of the martyrs that I read to you says that the martyrs, again, the martyrs did believe it. All of them. What about St. Lucy, who was basically told, all you got to do is profess that you like that that this God, my God, is valid, and then marry my son. And she went, how about no? No, really, Lucy. I mean, you're the most beautiful woman in the kingdom. He's the most, he's my son, so you got to, come on. Just do it. Now, I'm already married. His name is J.C. I wed him. No, really, seriously, you got to do this. It's just, a statue of a god. What's the big deal? Not going to do it. Wouldn't be prudent. It's Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel. King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers at 844-527-8723. Now, we didn't get to finish this up last segment, but John Zmirak's piece about the deputy who stood by while those kids were shot in Parkland, Florida school. Now, Mrs. O'Connell filled me in during the break, things I did not know. For example, he's receiving a pension for 30, how many years as a cop? Is it 33? 33 years as a cop. He volunteered for the school guard job. He wasn't appointed. He wasn't assigned. He wasn't sent there. He volunteered for it. And by all indications, it was that position. Now, think about this. That position was created specifically to prevent what happened in Parkland. Then we learned that three Broward County Sheriff's deputies showed up and also were cowards and would not go in the building. Zmirak. Let the other featherless biped take the bullet. Subheading. Say you're in your 50s, have a nice safe gig guarding a school. You've got your favorite fun websites bookmarked and you're drinking under control. Your job is boring but safe. The union makes it very hard to get fired. You look forward to 25, maybe 30 more years of ethnic takeout, NFL, and microbrews. Then one day, reality starts hammering on the door. Bang, 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 bang. Some maniac who got jaded of video game kills is shooting the kids in your school. Quick, now, what do you do? Help us champion truth, freedom, limited government. Well, that's ad for the stream. Scratch that. You apply what the culture taught you to do. Remember that all those brats inside are just biological accidents anyway. Little matches going out. Poof, poof. And they're gone. And they're gone. Wait, what do you... They're gone. They're all gone. But there's 4,000 kids inside. No, they're not. They're gone. But I used to go to that school. They're gone. Poof. But you, on the other hand, are a complex, magnificent creature. An irrepeatable miracle of rights, appetites, and pleasures. And now all of that could end. Then blank. Absolutely nothing for all eternity. The choice is clear. You wait and pray to the universe as some other featherless biped will go in and take the bullet for you. Then you can continue collecting your pension. Again, it's nice to have John Zmirak off of the antidepressants and back in our corner for a change. Because he always has been a really good writer. It's only when he drinks the American exceptionalism Kool-Aid recently and he loses his noggin. Well, this is good work here. And it's bold. It's bold. Somebody said, I can't believe that Zmirak wrote that. Can you not believe that Zmirak wrote that, or can you not believe what the deputy did? I can't believe what the deputy did. Again, this is not to play armchair cop with this guy. By definition, if you have an armed police officer at a school, what are they armed to do? Shoot the kids? Think about this. What do you need the weapon for if you're not going to use it to defend the kids? And Deputy Peterson did not defend the kids. But we're told that there's a crisis of too much masculinity around here these days, right? Too many men, you know, heavy breathing and thumping their chest and what have you. All it took, would have taken, is for one brave, valiant man, even if he were killed in the exchange and he only saved half a dozen of them, even just one of those kids. It's a noble, beautiful act of selflessness and courage, and we'd all recognize it as such. Instead, poof, it's gone. Here's Celeste with the news.